When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Sarah Ferguson, here with my co-host, Jessica Sterling. Jess, how are you?
I'm great. It's a turnaround podcast. Turning it around.
Oh,
what is that?
You are bringing some chaotic PSR energy into, into our pod.
This podcast is less chaotic?
I think so.
Maybe not.
How was your day, Jess?
Oh, it was shit, but that's okay. We're here now. Before we came on the podcast, normally it's like, oh, a 90s nightcap. It's just one glass of wine. Actually, speaking of, today I'm drinking Sutter Home Pink Moscato. What? That's what I'm drinking. But I bought two bottles. Well, two. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say two bottles.
Yeah.
I should clarify.
How many ounces is in that little bottle?
I have like the mini bottles in ounces. Where are the ounces? Oh, here we go. Nope, that's not it.
Milliliters?
Where do they put them?
Do you have milliliters?
Oh, here we go. 187 milliliters.
My Frizzantes are 250.
Yeah, exactly. So you're drinking more in one can than I have in one bottle. So I had to get two. But anyway, sorry for Canadians. I don't know what that is in like grams or whatever you guys measure in.
No, I said milliliters. I think that's their.
Oh, they use liters too?
I don't know.
Me neither. Anyway, you guys can convert that if you really want to.
Wow.
It's been a fucking day. It's been an awful day, but that's okay, because now we're here.
You did get an appliance delivery today.
Did get one appliance delivery.
Was it a trash compactor?
Right? Okay, I have some shit to talk about that, but no. Also, I think trash compactors are fucking useless. Like, I don't understand exactly. Okay, I know what a trash. What's the other one? What's
garbage
the one that grinds
disposal.
Up your. Okay, yes, I know what that is. Does a trash compactor literally just, like, smush your trash?
I think that's good for landfills, but I don't think anybody has a trash compactor anymore.
No one, like, residentially has one. Yeah, exactly. Like, I could see a commercial purpose for one, exactly. But I don't understand why any homeowner would want a trash compactor.
I mean, it would be really good for the environment, I would think, because, you know, you're throwing stuff into landfills.
Well, I feel like you're better off getting, like, a compost if you're trying to be good for the environment.
That's what I kind of thought it was, too. But then, like, Feeny's, like, you know, oh, like, your trash doesn't look compact, which made me realize that what it truly was.
Right. Because when he first brought it in, I thought it was a garbage disposal. I got them mixed up.
Yes. But, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I did get a major appliance. It's a stove, which is much better than a trash compactor and much more necessary, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And also pretty expensive. So... there you go. Me and you, Alan. No one bought it for me, though. We bought it just as a household.
Out of the marriage fund.
Yep, out of the marriage fund.
Joint bank account.
Yep, coming in handy.
Yep.
So that was that. That was my Monday. How was your Monday, Sarah? Was it better than mine?
Probably. I mean, she was okay. Yes. Yeah, like, it was fine. That's it. That's it. It was just a Monday.
It was fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mondays are trash, which is why we have this podcast, because it lifts our spirits on trashy Mondays.
Right.
And here we are. And it's also rainy, which is, like, fine, but it's also just kind of meh, you know?
It was raining yesterday, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of over spring already. Here's the thing. Can I just say something? Spring is trash, and I would rather have winter than spring.
No, Here's my hot take. I disagree.
Spring, everything is mushy. I live in New York State. Everything gets fucking mushy. There's mud everywhere.
Yeah, we have a swamp in our backyard.
Yeah. And then you look outside and you're like, well, shit, now I have to go fucking mow the lawn because the grass is growing again. Like, at least when it's winter, I'm not mowing the lawn.
You know, I forgot that you have to mow your grass.
Yeah. So
that,
like,
was what you spent half your summer doing last summer. You're like, I'm going mowing again. And then every single time I'm like, oh, my God, you mow your own grass? Because I could never imagine mowing grass.
I mean, okay. So you would live in an apartment, for people who don't know. If you got a house, though, like, you'd have to mow your lawn unless you hired someone to do it.
Hire somebody.
Oh, really? In my neighborhood, the ritzy people hire people to do their lawn.
Well, every single day I realize I'm more and more of a snob, so I don't know what to do.
It's just like, it's not hard to mow your lawn. Here's the thing. It's not hard to mow your lawn. I don't mind mowing my lawn in the summer. I hate mowing it in the spring because where I live, my backyard is on a slope, and at the bottom, there's, like, way, way, way in the back, there's a creek. Haha, Dawson's Creek. We have a creek way in the back. So it ends up making the bottom of my yard very mushy and wet. And so I can't even mow it because I'll get the mower stuck, which I have done multiple times. And I have a riding mower. So imagine trying to get that shit out of the mud. It's just a big fucking mess. And spring sucks. And honestly, I'm not a person who likes the heat anyway. So I'd rather be, like, bumming around in sweatshirts.
Yeah. Anyway. Side note. I think that, like, my lips are having a reaction to some spicy food I have because they're very red and they look very plump.
It looks like you're wearing, like, a lip tint is what I would say.
No, I'm not. I just think that I'm having an allergic reaction to spice.
Interesting. What type of spice did you eat?
I just had some Mexican food.
Oh.
But, like, it looks like I got some, lip injections, which is fine, but I don't really need them.
I know. I've always felt like my lips don't really, like, they're kind of plump enough on their own without needing any real assistance. Yeah. I feel for the people who have, like, the really thin lips, though, because that can't be easy putting lipstick on.
No, that's why Kylie overdraws her lips.
I can't. I think I did it one time just to see what it looked like. It looked fucking awful. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it looked like a Bratz doll.
Yeah, honestly. It looked nuts.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about this episode?
Yeah, we probably should. So we're here talking about Boy Meets World seasons 12 and 13. Happy that we grouped these together, mainly because, I don't know, I'm kind of tired of, like, Corey and Sean just, like, ragging on these poor women. Like,
you don't like their dating escapades. I feel like you like them better in relationships. Like, you probably like them better when, like, Sean is with Angela.
I love Angela.
Yeah. Corey's with Topanga. Like, you don't like them in the game.
I don't want them dating. It's not that I don't want them dating around. It's just that, like, I don't know. The whole stuff with Ingrid, like, pissed me off. I guess let's talk into this episode because that's the first episode anyway.
Yeah.
It's the turnaround. Yeah, season 2, episode 12, the turnaround.
Yeah. Nobody calls a turnaround dance a turnaround dance. Like, I've always heard it as a Sadie Hawkins dance.
I have also always heard it as a Sadie Hawkins dance. And honestly, the whole episode, the only thing I was thinking was like, wow, this is outdated. Like, to me, this seemed, even though we grew up with this type of thing, even now, looking at this, I'm like, this feels archaic to me.
Like, do you feel like they don't have Sadie Hawkins dances anymore?
No. Really? For the exact reason that Topanga says in the episode. Like, I just think, I wrote down what she actually says. I'll say it when we get there. But, like, just the idea. Oh, here we go. Topanga isn't going. She's protesting because it implies that only the boys can ask the girls any other time. It's destructive, gender-biased thinking, which I agree with. And so, like, I feel like the notion of a Sadie Hawkins dance basically implies that women can't ask men or girls can't ask boys, however you want to say it, to dances normally. Also, it also implies that only women can ask only men versus a boy asking another boy, a girl asking another girl. Like, I just, and I think it just reinforces those, like, negative things. So I don't think they probably have these at schools anymore. If somebody is, like, listening to this and is in high school, I don't think you probably should
be.
Or
a teacher.
Should be. If you're a teacher, if you're involved in education in any way and they do exist, please just let us know. I'm very curious.
Yeah. I would say that my guess is that it does still exist, actually.
It probably does in maybe in places that aren't as
progressive.
Like, progressive, I think. I just,
yeah.
Just the notion of it pisses me off. Again, it's like, why is this necessary?
I feel like that's something that, like, the PTA would, like, have, like, 10 sessions on if they should abolish it or not.
Yeah.
And really waste, like, a lot of time. And, like, all of the, like, conservative moms would be, like, not conservative, like, not, like, religion conservative. I mean, like, traditional, I guess. Yes. I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
Like, they would be like, no, like, we have to keep this. It's, like, tradition. Like, when I went to high school here, like, 30 years ago, like, we did the Sadie Hawkins dance. Like, I have a feeling, like, it's still a thing in, like, the majority of the country.
It probably is. And maybe, I mean, like, Corey and Sean are certainly excited about it because they're like, oh, pressure is off. We don't have to ask the girls this time. But then, of course, Eric comes to burst his bubble, as he always does, and says, like, oh, well, the type of girl that asks you is going to tell you exactly who you are.
Yeah, I've never thought about that aspect of it before. Did you ever participate in a Sadie Hawkins dance?
Probably unsurprising. I was not, like, super keen on dances in general as a kid. I would go, but, like, I always went with my friends. Like, I never had, like, a date to a dance. And it was never, like, a thing where you had to have a date to a dance.
Right.
Like, it was just, like, you'd always go with, like, a group of friends. At least for me, personally. So, no, I mean, we may have had, I'm pretty sure we probably had a Sadie Hawkins dance. But,
yeah,
I never felt a big pressure to ask anybody.
We definitely had one. I think I remember both in high school and middle school, and I definitely did not participate. Like, I wouldn't have, like, the guts to do it. However, I did, for both proms. Well, I went to three proms, but two of the proms that I went to, I did ask the guy, but they weren't, like, in school boys. They were, like, out of school boys.
Okay. That makes sense that you'd have to ask them in that instance then. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I have asked a guy to a dance before. But we'll have to save that for the prom episode in time. We got, like, some years for
the prom episode. It's a while down. We got time. But yeah, so, like, they talk about, oh, positioning is very important. You have to make yourself available to the girls.
It does make sense. It does make sense. You know, like, you know, you got, like, a hallway. You got
to show your face, which, like, there, what is it? Out of sight, out of mind, right? So in your sight, in your mind.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, Sean's not even trying. He's, like, head in the locker. He switched lockers. Actually, so now I have, like, a better idea of the locker landscaping.
Yeah.
Of, like, whose locker is whose. But So Sean's head in the locker, and then Becky Schultz, who is the third coolest girl in the grade, mm-hmm. comes up and asks him, which is like a good get for Sean.
Right. And this is when, and so Corey's trying to make himself available. And this is when we just talked about Topanga approaching. Yeah. And she's not going. She yeah. also, I mean, I loved that whole line that I read out that she said. Mm-hmm. And then to me, because that is season one Topanga. Like yep. that, and I'm like happy we got shades of season one Topanga back, right?
Yeah.
But then they immediately, in my opinion, they immediately kind of undermine that by her saying, also, mm-hmm. my daddy's taking me Christmas shopping. Like,
well, she's never called Jedediah daddy before.
Yeah.
That was one of the trivia facts in the IMDb, is that this is the first time she refers to her father as daddy or dad instead of Jebediah.
Yeah.
So it was very uncharacteristic of Topanga to get excited to go Christmas shopping in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I did like seeing that line. It felt like old Topanga, but without like, you know, the crystals and the sage.
Yeah. I just didn't like that. Like they let us have a taste of season one Topanga, but then they undercut it by saying, like, oh, I'm going shopping with daddy.
It's because she's spending all this time with these other girls that are brainwashing her
yeah.
and, like, not letting her be her true self. And I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I don't either. I like yeah. seeing her because, again, I feel yeah, like
we don't see her that much.
We're missing Topanga in season yeah. two. And I just think, like, again, we were so excited to start season two and I'm liking it. I don't want to let they misrepresent my feelings on it. I'm just like, god damn, I thought Topanga, we'd see more of her by now. And so it's mm-hmm. like, that's disappointing me. But I loved that one line from her because she summed yeah. up my entire feelings on all of that perfectly.
Yeah.
And so I loved seeing
her. It was
her,
a good line.
Yeah. But of course, like, Corey's upset. Oh, sorry, go yeah. ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I honestly don't think that we're going to go get full Topanga until season four.
Yeah.
I think that season three is similar, where she's definitely there, but not for every single episode. So I think
it's just weird because, like, you feel like season one, it's, like, so much about, like, obviously mainly, like, Sean and Corey. And then, obviously, like, to an extent, like, the Matthews family in general.
Yeah.
But they utilize, obviously, Minkus, like, a lot. And then Topanga is there quite often as well. And so then it feels weird to me to, like, have her but not really be utilizing her a lot in season two.
Right. So I would say to that is that they were trying out a lot of side characters. Every single episode, there's a different side character, female side characters specifically. Mm-hmm. So I think that I don't know. You know, I had read that they were deciding to go more towards a Topanga route rather than a Minkus route in terms mm-hmm. of, like, a third friend or a third person. Yeah. But I would say that that is probably not true for season two. I would say that probably came full into fruition in future seasons because, mm-hmm. I mean, a part of me feels like they're trying out different people, but
yeah,
they're all, like, one-offs.
Yeah, especially, like, with the inclusion of, like, Harley and Frankie and Joey, it's kind of, like, mm-hmm. I can kind of see that. And then, obviously, you also have to make time for Mr. Turner now because he's also, like, a main character. But it's yeah. just weird to me. But anyway, so Corey's upset now because, like, Topanga's, like, his shoe-in. Like, it's, like, his safety school, you know, his safety net. And so he like, of course, Corey always just has his sights set on the highest achievable goal of, like, going yeah. after the most popular girl yeah. in
big
school.
Big dreamer. Big dreamer. Yes.
And he has this, like, ridiculous, like, daydream of her, like, walking towards her, like, wind in her hair. Mm. Like, very, like, I forget what it's called in editing when they do, like, almost like they're coming down from the heavens. They're, like, mm-hmm. lit up all around them, you know?
Mm. Yes.
And she asks him to the dance, and of course he says yes, but it turns out it is a very nerdy girl named Ingrid asking him instead.
Yeah, so, like, Ingrid's just really pumped that, you know, an average guy said yes to her. I guess she's part of the nerd crew. She'd mm-hmm. be hanging out with at the loser's table with, yes. like, the guy with the cape and the girl yep, with the overalls.
The keyboard, the overall yeah. girl. Yeah.
Yeah. So Corey is, like, very shocked to see that was not, like, popular. Number one popular girl, Allison.
Yes.
So he goes home. He's trying to figure out how he can ditch Ingrid. And he's trying to come up with, like, this really dumb lie, like, that,
I don't know, some bullshit, like, oh, it was, like, my twin or something.
Yeah, yeah. And Alan's like, this is the stupidest idea in the world. You're a stupid kid. But Alan's like, you have to go with her. You asked her, you have to go with her.
I don't disagree with Alan here.
No, I agree.
Like, you already made the commitment to her. Doesn't mean you need to, like, hang around her the entire night at the dance. Mm-hmm. But you at least have to go pick her up and you'd ask her. You're going with her.
I know. I mean, like, to be honest with you, even if you were going with a guy, if we were going with a guy, like, you still hang out with your friends at the dances.
Yeah, you do a couple, like, slow dances with the guy, and, like, that's all you're really,
you know? I mean, most of the time you would, like, dance with your friends.
Right. So, and Eric especially is like, oh, yeah, you have to go with Ingrid now, because if you dump one, they're all going to know. I'll dump a girl. They're all going to know, and they're all going to hate you. And he does, like, I actually really love this like, scene right here. He has, like, a really good example of, like, oh, my gosh, remember how great Mom's chili was? And Morgan's, like, getting something out of the fridge. 5 seconds later, Amy comes in, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you loved my chili so much.
Yeah, this was a great example of the International Woman Network. I did like it. I mean, I think this is very smart for Eric. We love when Eric is, like, being witty and not, like, a dum-dum. So this was very enjoyable.
Yes. Very, like, stereotypical and, like, kind of putting women into a box. Not saying that I don't know what he's talking about. That, like, yeah, girls talk to each other. Like, they're gonna, like, spread information.
Yeah.
About guys they're dating, because when you're friends with other people, usually you're going to be like, oh, watch out for that guy. He just dumped me or whatever. You know what I mean? They share information. So, yeah, I thought that was a funny example of it. And I really like, I agree with you. Like, I do like seeing a smarter, like, a street smart version of Eric. He's not always so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're back in return in Turner's class, and they're reading Pygmalion. Is that it?
Pygmalion. Yeah.
Never heard of it. Never read it.
I've heard of it before. I think that this is there's, like, a really famous story that this is based off of. Let me see if I can figure this out quickly.
Oh, like Lion King is Hamlet, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
Got it.
But it's like, why is this? Like, AP English. Why?
Every episode we're reading a different book and we're applying those life lessons to whatever's going on.
It's so hard. It's like,
so much.
Oh, My Fair Lady. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, basically the whole idea is, like, wait, is this the one? Hold on. Now I'm getting mixed up between the two episodes.
What happened?
Is this the one where, nope, that's the other one. Hold on. Girl, I don't know. Oh, this is the one where Turner says how you speak and how you walk affects how you're going to do in life. And this is what, like, has a light bulb go off in Sean's head that, like, they need to basically do a she's all that with Ingrid.
Right. Yes. So, which is one of Sean's brighter ideas, I guess. Like, he roped in Becky and he's like, Becky, you know, we're going to do, like, a makeover, which I mean, we love makeovers. I love a makeover.
Yeah. So. I thought it was, like, a nice idea. Here's the thing. It's a nice idea in one way. In that you're like, oh, well, if we can't find you a popular girl, we'll make Ingrid popular and problem solved. Now, you're also, like, obviously doing the life lesson of, like, well, do we need to change Ingrid to, like, please the guy she's going to a dance with? No.
But so my argument to this is that Ingrid wants to be popular.
Right. And that's the only reason, because I didn't remember that aspect of this episode until we got there. And then I was like, OK, as long as Ingrid is on board, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah. And Ingrid said at the.
OK.
Well, Ingrid said at the end that she also knew that this is, like, what Corey was doing was for self-interest purposes. Right. So. I don't really feel bad for Ingrid. Like, obviously, of course, Ingrid wants to be popular, you know? Like, she, number one, she gets to hang out with Becky, who is the third most popular girl in school. Mm-hmm. And then she gets to sit at their lunch table I think she replaced the number two most popular girl. We didn't see her. So I don't feel bad for Ingrid. And then she was a brat at the end. I think Ingrid's like worst.
I think it depends on like who this character is, right? If it's a more likable character that like doesn't turn out to be an asshole at the end, like you do feel bad for them. But she's game for it. Also, we have this like side plot of like Mr. Turn. Let's see. So Feeny asks Miss Tompkins to chaperone the dance. And because it's Sadie Hawkins, he tells Miss Tompkins that she can, like, invite a guy. First of all, if she's dating some random guy, she's not dating, let's pretend she's not dating Mr. Turner. What guy wants to go on a date to chaperone a children's dance? No guy wants to do that.
Well, I think Feeny knew that.
Of course. And, like, of course, poor Turner is, like, waiting for her to ask him, and he like
but Mr. Turner's a teacher too. He can just volunteer to chaperone. I know. Doesn't need permission from
But why would he want to do it in the first place? But
because he wants to hang out with Miss Tompkins,
I guess. So so now we're at the Matthews residence, and Sean and Corey are like looking at magazines trying to figure out how they want to make Ingrid look, and of course they end up being Amy's magazines after she comments on how like, oh, these women are just like too skinny and too this and too that, and where did you get these magazines?
Yeah, I like how she was like, you didn't open up the drawer, did you? Never open up a person's nightstand. That's where all the secrets live.
Yes, for everybody out there, definitely don't do that. That's not okay. That's don't do that to people. Ingrid comes downstairs looking, I mean, her hair looked very pretty, I have to say. I did like the hair.
Oh, yeah. I thought that she looked great. I thought this green dress that she wore looked really pretty. Her hair looked really pretty. I mean, I think that it was a good little makeover. I think that Becky did a good job.
I do, too. But the thing is like, the way Sean reacts, I feel like there's a better approach than being like, no, this isn't going to work.
This doesn't work. Yeah, she needs something special. She needs something mysterious about her.
I don't disagree with him that, like, being cool is more than looks. It's an attitude. Like, totally get that. Makes sense. But I don't know that that's the way to approach it, Sean.
It's like, this is not right. Not right.
Yeah.
So he needs something, like, foreign, something mysterious about her. And she's like, well, my name is foreign. It's Ingrid. And then the whole reveal that Ingrid's family is from Sweden. And that's like, oh, we can work with that. You know, there's like naked women at the beach. Yeah, in
there
Sweden.
Are naked ladies there. So you're good now.
Yeah. And then this is where like Corey is like, oh, like maybe this isn't a good idea. And then this is when Ingrid's like, no, I want to be popular. She, like, yells at his face, gets really close to him. So now it's all on Ingrid.
No, 100%. I'm on board with that. And I do think, like, whatever Corey has coming to him is, like, deserved based on the fact that, like, this was their plan to begin with, right? So whatever he has coming to him, he deserves it. And this is when we see Sean basically spreading rumors that everyone is nude in Sweden all the time.
Yeah, basically, Ingrid's a nudist. That's what we got out of this.
Yes. Yeah. So now
this outfit that Ingrid's forced to wear in the next day to school, this like little like it's like a milkmaid. Yeah. So it's like so ridiculous.
It truly is.
Feeny doesn't like Ingrid's makeover.
No, because he's like, oh, what happened to her? And, you know, he doesn't quite understand it.
No, he does not approve.
Yeah. And Ingrid immediately says she can't go to the dance with Corey. She's cool now. And Rick Lawler asked her to the dance and she said yes. And she basically, like, thanks Corey, kisses him on the cheek, and then leaves. And Corey is like, what the hell, like, just happened?
Yeah.
And, of course, this is, like, in the girl network because Sean immediately hears and comes
This is my favorite part of the whole episode. Like, right after this happened, he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I just heard about Ingrid. Yes. And they're like, he's like, how do you know? And he's like, well, I'm tapped into the girls' network.
Yeah. I did like that because it was, like, a very funny running gag throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
And this is when the most popular girl in school asks Corey to the dance.
Yes, Allison. Allison's like, will you go to the dance with me?
And Corey's shocked. Shocked. What'd you think? Like, were you suspicious of this?
Yeah, I knew something was up. I didn't remember the ending. It's interesting to me that Sean doesn't all... I mean, I don't know. Maybe Sean
has to already know. No, he has to know. They have to know.
That's what I'm wondering is...
They said everybody knows.
Right. So why didn't Sean warn Corey about this, you know?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to burst Corey's bubble.
Yeah, maybe not. But regardless, so now he's going with the most popular girl. Probably not the best thing to, like, get on your knees and hug her legs, Corey. Like, you look an awful desperate, just saying.
That's not what a cool person would do.
No, it's yeah. An attitude, Corey. It's an attitude.
Yeah.
Yes. So, back at the Matthews residence, apparently this is around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. This is our Christmas episode. Merry Christmas.
Episode.
Well, also, I love how, like, the posters were, like, this is, like, a non-denominational, like, poster, but yeah. It was just, like, a giant snowman with, like, a menorah on the corner. It's like, this is not a Christmas poster, yeah, but here's, like, a menorah. And then there was, like, another poster of another menorah that said, like, Happy Hanukkah, but still no Christmas shit, except for at the Matthews residence, there's a Christmas tree.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was like, oh, suddenly this is a Christmas episode? Mm-hmm. Like, since when? Honestly, since when?
Well, no, in the very beginning, the poster had, like, a snowman saying, and then a menorah.
Like, I don't know. I thought that was weird. And, like, also, and, obviously...
And this released on December 16th.
So. I gotta say, I preferred, was it Santa's Little Helper was the name of it or something?
Oh, for a Christmas episode? Yeah, this, like, blew as a Christmas episode. This is not a Christmas
episode, yeah.
Yeah.
So Eric's like, oh, this is the best. Now the girl has to come in and get interrogated by the parents and I just get to relax. And then, of course, like, the car horn honks and he's like, what? Yeah. I feel cheap.
Yeah, the girl did not want to come in and talk to the parents.
No.
The Matthews family is pro tinsel on their tree.
I am anti tinsel.
We don't use tinsel.
I think it looks like shit.
Yeah, why are they using tinsel? So basically, this is the best night ever for Amy and Alan. Morgan's at a sleepover. The boys are at the dance. They have 6 full hours of fuck time. Let's get going. Like,
yep. You know, I love their approach, too. They're like, they had wine, like, ready to go. Like, the minute those kids were out the door, they already had, like, glasses poured.
Yeah,
like,
no time to waste. We got to get going.
Sexy music is on.
Sexy music. We don't have time to waste. We only have 6 hours.
Honestly, how long are they having sex for? Like, that is a long-ass time. 6 hours?
I would rather go... Never mind. This is not the Dawson's Creek podcast.
If you want more R-rated content,
well, I'm please. Just saying, like, I would rather have sex multiple times for a shorter amount of time in 6 hours than one 6 hour session of sex.
Chafing is a real concern with 6 hours of sex, just saying.
Yeah,
maybe they're, like, really into foreplay.
Oh, God.
You know what, that makes sense, because they start off with, like, the back rubs, right? Like, I feel like, yeah, they have, okay, maybe this makes sense. Okay, so we have 6 hours, right? It's, yeah, evening, so it must be post dinner. I'd assume we're at post dinner at this point.
Yeah,
so
6 o'clock. No. What kid is coming home at midnight? 5 o'clock.
Okay. So either they have had dinner or they haven't, but they have the wine. They have, like, snacks. They put on the sexy music. They do the back rubs. They do some dancing, maybe. You know.
Yeah. I mean, if this is their night. Their night, then they're going to make, like, a full endeavor of this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they start, you know, Alan's giving Amy a nice shoulder rub.
A sensual massage.
Yes.
Where's and that now, from? Oh, Austin Powers, I think.
We're at the dance, and immediately Allison ditches Corey.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, so this makes a lot of sense. So everybody knows that Allison has a 9th grade boyfriend, but her parents don't let her date 9th graders, so she gets normal safe guys to bring her to the dance that her parents would approve of, and then she ditches the guys to hang out with her 9th grade boyfriend.
Why not just go to the dance alone? and meet maybe up with Danny there.
Maybe that's suspicious.
This all is like, this is reminding me very much of like that stupid party that that girl had where she's like, my mom doesn't let me hang out with yes. cool boys. It's like, so I think parents that, know which yeah. kids are cool.
I think that girl's the second most popular girl in school.
That she's she number had it going two. On.
Yeah, she's number two.
It's fair.
I think her name, what was her name, Melissa?
I think so.
So yeah. So this hierarchy in the cool girls club.
Yeah.
Number one, we got Allison. Number yeah. two, we got Melissa. Number three, we got Becky. And then I don't know who's Ingrid, after that. Ingrid, probably. Well, I don't, I mean, I guess then Ingrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who the cool boys are in the other grade. I mean, in this grade.
Danny probably because he's dating.
No, he's in ninth grade.
Oh, in seventh grade, you're saying? In
seventh grade.
Sean is definitely up there.
But I don't think Sean's like a popular kid.
He's
like,
not
I
the top top. But if the third most popular girl is asking him how, he at least has to be okay. top five.
Like, okay, so you know at school there was like the jocks and like the cool boys. But then there was like the boys that were like actually popular. Like, because you know there's like popular, but then there's like the actual definition of popular.
Right.
Where like everybody likes this boy. So they're like popular, but they're not like a jock football player.
Yeah, I think the thing with Sean is that like he's even cooler because he doesn't hang out with like the popular guys,
right?
So he's like, oh, he's cute and he's like cool, yeah, but he's not like trying to be, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, like mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably his appeal a lot of the okay. time.
Yeah,
he's
a high yes. profile guy, like all the girls want to go to the dance with him.
Yes. So Corey's pissed.
I mean, and it's upsetting. This is the second time he got dumped.
Yes. In,
for the same dance.
Yes. And meanwhile, we have Feeny telling Turner.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, what? What else
then
happens?
Then Sean says, I'm sorry. comes up and yes, says, I just sorry. heard about Allison. Sorry about that. Heard it from the Girls Network. I'm going to get
no,
you some
snacks.
No,
he says he was just standing over there. Wasn't that
no,
the time
No, that
says,
was a third
oh, that's
time.
Later. Sorry. So it happened so many times.
I know. It's my favorite bit. It's
yeah,
my favorite
no, you're
bit.
Right. He heard it from the Girls Network.
Yeah.
And this is when we get Feeny telling Kat and Turner to exercise mm-hmm. restraint. And meanwhile, mm-hmm. they're just sitting and talking.
Yeah, a little
Feeny's
too
close.
Feeny's
the one who's like, leave room for the Holy Spirit, children.
I'm telling you, the best match that's ever, like, ever been prophesized, Mr. Feeny and Grams from Dawson's yeah. Creek. They're
they get
made
along
for
like
each other.
Carrots.
Yes, yeah. They're made for each other.
Yeah, but he has his eyes on Miss Snyder at the punch bowl.
He always does. But
we've
what's
seen
happening
her with her?
What's happening with Miss Snyder? Nothing's moving forward.
No, they went to a poetry date and we haven't heard anything since. Apparently,
I think
like the sexy plums.
I think that she's dragging him along. Mr. Feeny is like kind of a get.
Like, here's the thing. I think what it is that she got tired of him, like, always talking about the Matthews family and, like, always talking about, like, Corey. And,
no,
like,
yeah.
just being, like, way okay. too involved in these kids' lives.
I got it. Miss Snyder came over for a nightcap and for some dinner because Feeny's, like, a good cook. Then she's like, oh, can I go to the restroom? And Mr. Feeny's like, sure. It's, like, the third door to the left.
Yeah.
Miss Snyder's not the math teacher. She's actually the science teacher. So she goes down, counts two doors, opens it up, and that's where she sees the shrine of...
It's like the Helga Shrine.
Yeah, the Helga Shrine of Corey. And she's like... Holy
all the cameras.
Fuck.
Like, he has, like, these cameras set up, like, security
yes.
cameras.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the bugging system.
Yes.
And she's like, holy fuck. Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do about this?
And no one's going to believe her because he's the principal, so she has to just
right.
keep working there.
Right. And she doesn't want to lose her job. So she
yes.
closes the door. She's like, oh, no, like, I think I got a stomach ache. And she, like, bounces.
Yeah. And she's like, what am I supposed to do about this? And she's just thinking about it now. I yeah. love this. This is our best theory yet.
I think so.
We fit the nail on the head with
because
this one.
Exactly.
It makes perfect sense.
It does.
So, yeah. So now basically we find out that the entire time Kat was just like stringing along Turner because she got some twisted pleasure out of watching him squirm. And he's like, how'd you know no one else was going to ask me? She's like, oh, I put a note in with the Girls Network.
There is no other young... teachers, there's only young attractive subs
that we know of
that we
know
of. I have seen nobody else, so yes. Yeah, so Then Ingrid comes up to Corey and she's like sopping wet because all the cool kids were hanging out by the pool and they were like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool if we all just like jump in? Wouldn't that be so cool? And then Ingrid's like, I'm actually going to jump in. And she was the only one. So she comes up. She can't see a thing. Her contacts fell out. And then, you know, her date ditches her. And basically now we have both of them being like sad sacks. They're both apologizing to one another.
Right.
I mean, sucks for them.
Yeah. And yeah. You feel bad for Ingrid for like
I feel bad
a
for
half
nobody.
A second.
No, I don't feel bad for her.
Well, you feel bad for her for like half a second when she like loses her contacts. Then Corey gets her glasses out, gives them to her. He's like being super nice to her.
Yeah.
And basically they both agree that they aren't cool. That like and like you said, Ingrid was like, oh, I don't feel bad because, you know, I didn't feel bad for dumping you because I knew that you were transforming me for yourself. Right. And they both agreed they should have just come together to the dance as themselves.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ingrid gets asked to dance by some random guy. And she just is like, okay. Like, and then Corey's like, what about knowing who we are? And she's like, give me a break. And she.
Yeah. Ingrid is disgusting. Hate Ingrid. She's like worse than Melissa.
Yeah, and you know these girls existed like in school too.
Yeah,
like these girls definitely existed. So it is kind of funny because you think the moral of the story is going to be like, oh, Corey and Ingrid like dance together at the end, but no.
No, there was plenty of social climbers in high school and middle school, cutting down friends left and right just to be part of the popular crowd.
Yeah.
So then Sean comes again and he's like, so sorry, heard about Ingrid. And then now it was because he was right there.
Yes, yes. This was the time he was standing right there. Yeah. And so then we have Eric, Corey, and Sean like all take a photo together.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, let's pretend our dates were all in the bathroom or whatever.
Sean's was okay. So Sean's like, Becky's been in the bathroom for hours. But tell me that this is not the case. Like, there were so many times when you go to school dances and you spend like a cumulative like 2 hours in the bathroom.
Oh, 100%. That was definitely
this happened all the time. You just go and hang out in the bathroom.
Because you go as like a group. That's like a thing you do.
You go with your friends into the bathroom and then you're like there for like 2 hours because you're like talking about it and like you're gossiping. Like you're there forever. So this is so like on point and factual.
Yeah. And I also think that like if you were, let's pretend you did go to a dance like with a boy or like you danced with a boy while you're there or whatever, there's so much pressure around it that like the only time you really can like let loose and have fun is when you're with your friends anyway. So I feel like it like does make sense.
Yeah. Oh, and then you dance with the boy for one dance and then you run to the bathroom.
And you tell all your friends about it.
Exactly. 100%. This is facts. So, So they take a picture for the yearbook because, like, in 20 years when they look back, they won't remember that they got ditched. Yada, yada, yada.
And then we get the end scene.
Yeah.
Poor Amy and Alan. Their night did not go as they thought it was going to.
They fell asleep during the massage.
I mean, you get it. It makes sense.
It sucks.
It does suck. I also don't know how. I understand how Amy falls asleep. But how does Alan fall asleep sitting like that? That cannot be comfortable.
Who knows? They're sleepy. Yeah. They're hard workers.
Yeah. So that was episode 12.
Hey, Sarah. I know you've been really into reading lately, and you've gotten me into it as well.
Yeah, well, you know what? Book of the Month made it really easy because Book of the Month offers just a few new selections every month, saving readers the hassle of figuring out what to read. One of the biggest deterrents for me is that, like, when I go to the library, there's like thousands and thousands of books, and I'm like, I don't even know what to pick.
Yeah, I'm with you. They focus on new and emerging authors, which means these are books that we probably wouldn't have found out about otherwise, which is super nice.
Yeah, and we also, I love having a really aesthetic bookshelf, and the books that we got, it was like beautiful, high quality hardcover books plus free shipping, which came really quickly.
Love free shipping. You and I both chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which is a thriller about a missing girl. And I really couldn't put it down. I think I read it in about a 48-hour time period. It had twists, it had turns, kept me guessing the entire way through up until the very last page.
So tell me what you liked about the book then.
Yeah. It was really good, and I'm excited to dive into the other book that I have. But the great thing is, Sarah, is that listeners can sign up for Book of the Month to discover new emerging authors by going to bookofthemonth.com and using code PETALS for just $5.
Wow, what a deal. Check out Book of the Month Club for all of your reading needs.
Yeah, seriously. Every month you could get a new group of books that you just, you know, fall in love with. So go to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS for just $5 and enjoy reading.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Episode 13 is called, gosh, is it Cyrano?
Cyrano. You don't even recognize this dude from Animal Crossing.
There's a dude named Cyrano from Animal Crossing?
Yep. He's an anteater, and he shares his birthday with May.
Oh, that's why you know him. I think yeah, I share my birthday with Cole the Black Rabbit, and he's super cute. He has, like, little teeth. I love him.
I like rabbits.
So, yes. So, this is the book I was thinking of when I was mentioning it in the last one. Yeah. So, we start off in Turner's class where this book is all about this guy who likes this girl, but he, like, basically tells the good-looking guy what to say to the girl to get her, essentially. And Topanga says she thinks it's romantic because the guy just cares about her happiness, and all the boys in the in the room thinks he's a dip or like an idiot or whatever. I fall somewhere in between that. I think like you're not doing the girl any favors by making her think that like the good looking guy has the same thoughts as you. Mm-hmm. Like really not helping her out there. But I also like I could squint and see that it's romantic. I guess
this is a tale as old as time. Like, we see this in media so much,
and I've rom-coms all the time.
I've never ever heard of anybody doing this in real life, so I don't think it's a real thing.
No, I think it's only in it was literally in one of the Mary Kate and Ashley movies that we watched.
Oh yeah, it was actually. What was that? That one.
Bahamas. Oh, Holiday in the Sun.
Holiday.
Because they were complaining about not going to Hawaii with my friends.
They really want to go to Hawaii. By the way, we're now into 1995.
That's crazy.
So, this was their first episode of 95.
We're moving right along. I can't believe it. I was 4. Look at that.
I was nearly 6 at this point on January 6th.
There you go.
1995. Nearly 6.
And this is going to be like the moral of the story of like, what do women want? Right? Like that is the entire, what this entire episode is about. Mm-hmm. And we find out that Alan bought Amy a trash compactor for their anniversary.
Yes.
And Feeny is very concerned about this.
Oh, yeah. Feeny's in the know. Feeny's like, this is not going to go out so well. This is not like a romantic gift. However, this is not a monumental anniversary. This is 17. This is not 15. This is not 20. Mm-hmm. 17. I think that you should be lucky to get anything on your anniversary.
I thought we were going to have opposing views on this. In my opinion. So let's get through, I guess, like Amy's reaction first.
I want to know what 17th year of marriage. You know how there's like the paper anniversary.
Yeah. Isn't paper 1?
17 is furniture. So
we're almost there. I mean, appliance, furniture, they're similar.
Similar. 16 is silverware. Now, that is good because we have an issue with missing flatware in our house. So I would like silverware. 18 is porcelain. 19 is bronze. What's 20? And then I'm going to be done with this.
Is 1 paper? Was I right?
1 is paper.
Okay, so what should Will get me for our 1-year anniversary?
A illustration of Winston.
That would actually be perfect. We should predict what Will's going to get me for our 1 year anniversary because we are in
a trash compactor.
We're in April. I would never want one actually.
China, you get 20 year anniversary, you get China. So you go to China.
I would prefer that over actual like plates and stuff. So Alan is like super excited about this trash compactor. Like he is thinking that she's going to love it. And Eric and Corey, of course, forget about their parents' anniversary, so they want in on this gift. Mm-hmm. Amy hates it. Amy's not a fan.
The thing is that this is not a romantic gift.
No.
It is an expensive gift. And I think that is something that men kind of have issue with is that, you know, when a woman is looking for a gift, they're looking for something that has some sort of sentiment to it. Men see, well, if I spend $500 on this trash compactor and $500 on this necklace, like, you know,
it's the equal same amount of money.
It's like it's the fact that I spent all this money. Yeah. But it's not a romantic gift.
No. So I looked up trash compactors. They're about $1,000, at least right now. That's okay. I don't know how much they were back then. Maybe they were like new and so they were like really expensive even more considering expensive. The time. Yeah. But what I will say is like I understand where Alan is coming from. Amy wants one. She has mentioned, he said that she's mentioned multiple times that she wished she had a trash compactor. So like by his logic, like I understand where he's coming from, right? Like you have to know the person that you're buying something for. Maybe for somebody else, they would appreciate that appliance because in a situation where it's something that like I know I'm not going to buy it for myself, but I'd really like to have one. Like you, right? You just got a steam mop and you loved getting a steam mop. For somebody else, that might be a shitty gift to get somebody.
Well, like, the thing I was asking for a steam
clean.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? I mean, I was asking for the steam mop for 2 years and like, nope, he would not get it for me because he was like, it's a lame gift. But finally he got it for me.
Right.
I mean, honestly,
I think it depends on the person you're buying it for. Like if somebody, in my opinion, if Amy has talked about wanting one, there's a difference. There's a difference between her having a conversation with Alan about we should really get a trash compactor one day. Or saying to Alan, oh, I wish someone would buy me a trash compactor. Like, there's a difference there. But I could see why Alan is confused. And don't get me wrong. Like, I think to me, at least in my opinion, everybody is different. Jewelry is somewhat of a cop-out. Like you just, okay, so, and I understand, like, I think it was cute at the end when he gives her a pearl necklace, right? And, like, one pearl for every year we've been together. And he actually miscalculates. Like, I think that's a cute gift. But I think sometimes jewelry can be just as thoughtless as anything else unless you're putting a lot of thought into what that person wants. Ready? You know what I mean?
Right. Well,
If you're saying it's the thought that counts.
It's never the thought that counts.
I'd like to know what people think about this. Like, I'd like to know where people stand because I feel like I'm a different type. Maybe I'm not the average person.
Okay, so if I got a trash compactor, I would still want a more romantic gift in addition to. But
what if it was like a heartfelt note or something?
Sentiment.
That was like expensive, but like.
You know, yeah, that would suffice. That would suffice, except that it's like very impossible to get certain people to write notes like that. But then again,
you mean
like
earth signs.
But I think that if he wrote me a note, like a heartfelt romantic note, like that would probably be like something that I would very deeply treasure because it's not something that I get very often. Well, okay, it's not something that I ever get. Just because he's like not much of like a thoughts on paper type of dude. Mm-hmm. So I would like that. I think that. I can see both sides, honestly, but also, like, I would not want a trash compactor for my anniversary, but once again, this is, like, This is a throwaway anniversary.
I mean, maybe people don't look at any anniversary as like a throw. Like, do only the like ones that are every 5 years matter? I mean,
I think that, yeah, like my 15th anniversary, like this is upcoming in 12 days is my 14th anniversary. Am I expecting a trash compactor or anything of significance? Mm-hmm. No. Now, my 15th anniversary, I would expect something more significant. Like, I have another question.
Yeah. When you get married, do you stop celebrating, like, the dating anniversary?
Okay,
a question for me, because I have an anniversary in a month if I don't.
You celebrate both anniversaries. What? I think that you, no. Listen to me, Jess. Okay. You celebrate your wedding anniversary and you acknowledge your dating anniversary. Fair.
I probably should check that with Will, because if he gets me something and I don't get him something, I look like a real asshole, especially because I've gotten our dating anniversary mixed up a few times. So yeah. I'd look like a real dick.
Okay. Actually, you know, the best part of me getting married would be like, I can finally be like, oh, we've been married for a year, instead of like, how long have you been dating? And then my embarrassing ass can be like, oh, it's been eons, because I don't like saying it because it's embarrassing.
Why is it embarrassing that you've been with him for a long time? That's a successful relationship.
We don't have to get into the psychology of why I feel like it's embarrassing. That's not really like for Cyrano right now. Cyrano doesn't want to know.
But yes,
this
I would
like
to hear.
This is like a personal issue.
I really would like to hear from the listeners, like, would they appreciate? And I'm not saying, because I think a trash compactor is just like honestly not a great example. Because if we hadn't just renovated our kitchen and someone bought me like a new appliance, like I'd be pretty excited about it. Or like you said, like with the steam mop, or like a really nice appliance that you were actually wanting to get but didn't want to spend the money on. You know, like, I don't know.
I don't like practical gifts. I do appreciate
the steam
mop was
like
something
that.
Special because I really did want, because I wanted it for a long time. It was $80. Like, I could have bought myself a steam mop, but I was just like holding out on it. You know, in that particular, like, but also like that wasn't my main gift. Like, that flower I got was
which
more
is very impractical. Yes.
Okay. So it was like a flower and like a really pretty like little vase that's like a bud vase essentially, and it's a forever flower, so it's a year. That was my main gift. That thing was more expensive than the steam mop. Mm-hmm. And that's a romantic gift. So it wasn't, that's why the steam mop worked for me, because that was my romantic gift, the flower. Mm-hmm. And I got a doormat. And then the steam mop was like my practical gift that I've been wanting for a while. And that's mm-hmm. why it didn't peeve me out. Now, I don't want practical gifts. So yeah. I'm not
and
the
meanwhile,
same.
Meanwhile, I
not
feel
the
like
same.
Will and I are the opposite. Like, I tend to buy him practical gifts because I know that's what I'd appreciate. And he buys me more like romantic things because that's what like he appreciates.
What's
so,
like a romantic example?
This might not be romantic for everybody, but I thought it was because it really was something he really thought about. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons that like we really started talking a lot when we first kind of interacted one-on-one, we talked about like our love of The Office and like TV sitcoms in general. And he made me, so basically, you know, the game Guess Who, mm-hmm. like from when you're a kid, he made me a Guess Who game, but it has all the Office characters in it. Mm. And so you have to ask questions like, oh, is your person in season 2 or, you know, whatever. And it was super romantic because it's something like we connected on when we were, you know, first starting to talk. And like we both love The Office and we both love board games. So that was something, it was more like, I shouldn't say romantic as much, like very thoughtful. And so again, like that's something he put a lot of thought into. And of course, it's not like super expensive, but the amount of time he mm-hmm. took to like, you know, print all the things yeah. and cut them all out and put them all right. in.
So
you know.
If any men are listening to our podcast, I think that we do have a good amount of male listeners, which actually, by the way, like that's kind of another subject for another day. But I had no idea that Boy Meets World was kind of more of like a male appreciated show.
I never thought about it.
Yeah, like it's, I always thought of it as like, oh, it's like such, it's a girly show because like there's like the big romance aspect. But most of the people that I know that are rewatching Boy Meets World are male.
Interesting.
So I find that extremely interesting because I never thought of it as like, it's, I mean, the title of the show is Boy Meets World, but I never thought of it as like a guy show. No, I never thought of
it as one way or the other, really. But I guess you think like the main character is a man for, I mean, at least most of the series.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, exactly. So, okay, well, that's nonetheless. But, like, if any men are listening and are like, well, the big question is, what do women want? What Amy says later, that women want to be appreciated, that's, like, a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of gifts, it's more so to be thoughtful. And it doesn't even have to be expensive. More so than... I mean, and every woman is different. There's plenty of women out there that are like, get me the Gucci or get out, you know?
Yeah, which is why I think that the jewelry at the end, while I appreciated the like thoughtfulness of like one for every year we've been married, I don't think that was the best example because like, what if he had gotten her, oh, this is a, so they go mini golfing, right? As a family, we know that. Oh, this is the little pencil from the first time we ever went mini golfing together or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I know, I would appreciate the necklace. I've asked, like, I've gotten a string of pearls for Christmas. So from Drew. So whatever.
Moving on back to the episode here. So, we get a whole thing between Harley and his girlfriend, Gloria, who we're meeting for the first time. Yes. She's like super frustrated with him because he has no manners, like with her. So go ahead.
No, like he doesn't want to meet her parents. Like he doesn't compliment her or like show his appreciation. You know, I think that so there's like a lot of bickering that's been going on. Frankie's kind of having a bad day. He's like being a little quiet.
He needs his quiet time.
Joey's trying to mediate. And then Corey and Sean come in and they're talking shit about Harley's greasy hair.
Yeah, scan the room, guys. Scan the room before you start doing that.
Yeah. And then Harley hears and then he wants to obviously beat up the boys.
Yeah.
Sean sweet talks and flirts with Gloria. Yeah. And then because of Gloria and Harley decides not to beat them up, even though Harley is literally not a bully. Like, he's never touched the boys, Corey and Sean. Like, he's never punched them.
The closest we've gotten to is when Eric steps in. That was, like, the closest we've gotten to, like,
actually. And I still think that he wouldn't have done that because he would have respected Corey for standing up for himself.
Yeah.
Harley's a fake bully. He has never touched the boys. He you know, threatens them a little. Okay, no, but that's still bullying. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, like, he always threatens that he's going to kill them, but he never
physically beat them up. I'd say, like, definitely mentally and, like, emotionally. Yeah. He's caused
lots of stress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of stress. So, Frankie's now in charge of killing, quote-unquote, Corey and Sean.
And Frankie decides that, like, instead of that, he asks them for a favor. He says that he's in love and he needs help wooing her. I kind of liked the, Sean, what? Wooing her.
What?
Like, how do you not know what wooing is, Sean? So he's like, oh, Corey, you're good at talking. And obviously, which girls have a thing for Sean. I like Frankie's thought process here. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Put the two together. You can coach me on how to, like, win the girl of my heart's affections.
Did Frankie's hair look darker in this episode to you?
Yeah, I think he dyed it for sure. It looks so very weird. Dark.
It was so dark. Maybe it was all the grease.
Yes. And we're back. And so basically they agree because they don't have any other choice.
Yeah.
We're back in the Matthews residence and we see Alan, like, definitely trying to make things up to Amy. He's helping Morgan clean her room. He's cleaning out the gutters. Taking out the trash where he sees Feeny. And this is where Feeny, interesting to me, like, Feeny is the one, you know, kind of spouting wisdom to Alan. Feeny's not even married. We don't know that he's ever been married.
Yes, we do.
He's been married?
I do. Yes, of course he was married.
I don't remember.
Oh my God. That's well, so it doesn't embarrassing. Matter.
But it's still interesting to me that he's like spouting this wisdom and he's like, oh, well, you know, it was easy. It was a time saver. You didn't have to rack your brain thinking of something that she'd like. Good points made by Feeny. But I still think like knowing that someone wants something and getting it for them. He obviously was listening when she said she wanted a trash compactor.
There needs to be an additional thing that is sentimental. That's what it is. If you have to give a practical gift because that's what they, quote unquote, want, then you have to supplement it with a impractical or more romantic gift.
Right. So this is when I loved this part where Corey and John walk in with Frankie, like, into their house. And Eric is like, what in the fuck is going on?
Yeah, Eric's, like, oh, like really scared. Talking about The Office, Frankie calls Eric Tuna.
Yes, yes.
I was like, tuna the sandwich. Original tuna. Not a big tuna.
No, just tuna. Not
big tuna.
Tuna just on wheat.
don't bring that to school. We talked about this already.
We did talk about this very early on, actually.
Yeah, we had a whole discussion on when it's an appropriate lunch to bring to school, and you never bring tuna to school.
No, it's not an okay thing to do.
No.
So they decide that Corey is going to pretend to be a girl and hold up a pillow in front of his face so Frankie can practice.
Yeah.
Very funny interaction between them. And Sean basically is like, you have to go tell her that you like her. Just walk up to her, tell her that you like her. And this is when we see, so it's Frankie's locker is the locker.
This is the
that,
big like, locker is in. Frankie's locker.
Right.
I thought that was Sean's locker, but it's not.
Right. So they're both hiding in it, listening in on this conversation. And we find out before, obviously, Sean and Corey do, that is Gloria, shocker, that Frankie loves.
This is very bad. Very, very, very bad. Very bad. Yes. This is a, you know, this is breaking bro code to the max.
This is a betrayal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that, like.
The guts.
I mean, here's the thing. Harley obviously cares for Gloria, so I don't think it would have worked out in Frankie's favor if he approached Harley first. It's not like a situation where Harley was going to break up with her anyway, and then, you know what I mean? Like, obviously Harley has feelings for her, but Frankie seems to not really care about that because he just immediately tells Gloria that he loves her.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. It was pretty weird. So we get the whole, like, feeding lines through the locker, and then ultimately Frankie, like, goes off book and is, like, you know, speaking from the heart, and Gloria's reacting really nicely to it because she's never heard a man say these types of things to her.
Right, because she's dating Harley, who treats her like crap.
Yeah, so then they go to Chubby's to get a burg. Corey figures out it's Gloria. Mm-hmm. Harley is like, have you seen my girl? It's like, why would they normally see their
Well, my favorite girl? Part was that Sean was like, oh, they'll never find out without witnesses. It's circumcised evidence.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My favorite line.
I should probably look back. I missed
circumcised
that.
Circumcised evidence.
Circumcised evidence.
Yeah. And, of course, like, they immediately fold because they, like, have no backbones and they're very obvious.
Also, in this discussion, we get a, like, future plot where they talk about dressing up as girls and pretending like they're somebody else. Remember that episode?
Yes, because I'm pretty sure I remember, like, Sean just, like, talking about how his, like, underwear is, like, riding up.
Is that where underpants is from? Maybe not.
No.
Underpants.
That's from something else, yeah.
More underpants.
Yeah, but they immediately fold, and they bring Harley to Chubby's, and, like, Gloria and Frankie, to be honest, like, I do think they're very sweet. Like, Gloria's like, oh, still waters run deep. And Frankie's like, I'm an ocean of love for you.
I like that. Still waters run deep. I've never heard that expression
before. Really? Yeah. Like, it's a common expression.
I like it.
I think that Frankie is such a sweetheart. I mean, we all can agree that this is, like, the wrong move.
Yeah.
But, like, I really love the inclusion of a character like Frankie in the show because everything he says is poetry. Yeah. And I just love the idea of, like, this, like, big, burly, like, mean, intimidating-looking guy just having, like, such a soft heart. I love it,
yeah, honestly. I really like Frankie a lot, too. I think that he adds a lot to the show. He's a very – I've never really seen, like, a character like him in television. Number one, it's very – like, I feel like it's pretty uncommon to see, like, a plus-size teenager in male or female in mm-hmm. television. So the fact that he got cast is great. But, yeah, I just think that he's a great character. I think that he adds a lot to the show.
And I think that when you do see someone who's plus size, they're always, like, the comedic relief. Like, they're right. always the yeah. funny character. And
or,
I think
like, their whole plot's revolved around their weight.
Their weight.
Yeah. And this and is not talked about at all. Besides, no. it's, like, he's the enforcer. But they don't say his, right. he's the enforcer because of his weight. Just
right.
That
and I love guy. That, like, he's, again, he's more emotional. He's more sentimental as a character. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Yeah. But yeah, it goes against him here because Harley sees them and he's very, very upset about the whole situation.
I mean, it is upsetting. Like, I mean, no, yeah. I don't know if like Harley considers Frankie his best friend. Like he considers Frankie like
his crony.
Like, yeah. His best crony. Mm-hmm. But essentially, like, I think that's as close as a best friend as Harley could have. Mm-hmm. And to see him with his girl. I mean, understandably upset. There's a little altercation between mm-hmm. the three of them. Like, Gloria's like, you don't even appreciate me anyway. Like, why do you care?
Their accents are just so much.
Like, I know.
Oh, you got me tires. Oh, well, it was only three tires.
Yeah.
That whole thing. So basically, Gloria's argument is like, well, Frankie makes me feel special. And this is when Corey interjects and he tells him the story about his parents and he's like, oh, they're going to work it out. Like, don't worry. Yeah. You know, you'll work it out too. And Harley showing up at the Matthews residence killed me.
Yeah, I like this too. So Harley comes to the house. Amy opens the door and he's like, I'm here for relationship advice. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And then like Eric comes home and sees Harley with Amy and they're like, legit just drinking tea and chatting.
Yes, and I love how every time that someone sees Harley, like first it's Eric and then it's Corey, they both freak out and assume that Harley is like threatening their parents.
Yeah, he's just there for some relationship advice. His mom's unavailable.
Yes. Not oh, yeah, available she's at four. Knocked out cold because yeah. it's like middle of four. The afternoon.
Yeah.
And so Amy gives him tea and Harley mm-hmm. asks what women want. And like you said mm-hmm. before, Amy says women want to be appreciated.
Yeah.
Like Harley should know what his girlfriend is feeling and thinking because like that's his, he's her boyfriend. Yeah. He should know. And this is when Alan walks
yeah.
in. And
yeah. Alan has his little spiel. Mm-hmm. I do think that this is a good point. I do think that a lot of women feel underappreciated. We talked about this in our season one, how much women handle the mental load.
Yeah.
And I still don't think that a lot of men get what that means of, you know, being responsible for so much within a household and then still thinking about, like, 10 things that's coming and things that you have to do and right. like being present, you know, and I think that there's some men that are great at showing their appreciation to their women. And then there's probably even more men that are not so great with,
right.
you know, showing their appreciation.
I'm also curious now because now obviously Alan comes in and gives Amy a necklace, 18 pearls, one for every year they're married. Mm-hmm. Amy says they've only been married 17 years. And he's like, well, one's for like that first year. And they like make out. I want to know what Amy got Alan for their anniversary.
Nothing. He got nothing.
Why?
Because that's the other thing. It's like, you know, the women always fair. Expect something. Like Valentine's Day, like how often do guys get stuff on Valentine's Day?
I don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
Well, no, I don't either. Stupid. But I'm just saying, like stereotypically, the girls are like, "What are you getting me?" And the guys are like, "Lucky if they get something."
I don't know. I don't like that. But mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we're back in the end scene. We're in the cafeteria, and Turner was like, "Oh, your essay on Cyrano was actually great." So Corey is like, love is something you can never take for granted. Don't buy her an appliance or tires. Turner's like, oh, you've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And then they run off to see the girls' volleyball team running laps, which is icky. You know.
And that's how we end the episode. Yes. What did you think? Do you have a preference between these two episodes?
Yeah, for sure. I like the second episode better. I think that I already said I love Frankie as a character. I loved an episode that focused, slightly more on him. And I thought that the lessons in the second episode were much stronger than the lessons in the first episode. Mm-hmm. I also just, like I said, I really like the idea of like talking about what I should like say, like a partner, not even necessarily women, but like a partner expects out of a relationship, and like how you can show someone you care about them in more ways than just like giving a gift. Yeah. So I like that. I love Harley visiting the Matthews residence. That cracks me up.
Yeah, I think overall episode 13 is a better episode, but there's a lot of like fun things about episode 12 that I enjoyed watching overall. Yeah. Like, I didn't think these episodes were bad. I think that they were, pretty good episodes. Probably going to be winding up on the lower tier just because I feel like there's high highs in this season and not many low lows. Like, it's either like this season is either like pretty good episode or like really good episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. We haven't had too many where we're like, what did we just watch?
Yeah, exactly. Or like, this was like boring. So I think that this is probably going to be like middle to bottom just because of what it is. Fashion hour. So we have our two awards, the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit and the Paul Rudd Certificate a Timelessness Award, who Mr. Paul Rudd just won our Lifetime Achievement Award. So for celebrating another year around the sun without aging an ounce. So,
Insane.
Good for him. All right. So Rachel Green Award. My first nomination is Miss Topanga. And this is in episode number 12, where she comes up to Corey and says that she is going shopping with her daddy for Christmas. Miss Topanga is wearing a gray blazer with a white t-shirt underneath, tucked in to some mom jeans, some light wash mom jeans that are baggy and belted. Her blazer has some like red cuffs. I see some gold rings, and her hair is typical for season 2 Topanga, straight and then curly at the ends with her little bangs.
I love how iconic Topanga's outfit can be if she's only in the episode for 5 seconds.
Oh yeah, I saw this outfit and I'm like, I love this outfit.
I know we already like have high-waisted jeans back. Like, that's already a thing that's been back. Can we please add chunky belts to that list? Because I love the way that big-ass belts look with high-waisted jeans.
I think that we could bring them back. I mean, the thing is that I heard that early 2000s clothing is coming back, which is a little scary.
No.
I know.
None of us liked low-rise jeans. Can we not?
I don't think we got the low-rise jeans yet, but I think, like, pretty much everything else is coming back.
I like a flare jean. I'm okay with that. But I also think, like, we could do full-on 70s and do high-waisted and flare, and I'd be cool with it.
Yeah,
but I just love a chunky belt.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think that the chunky belts would fly these days.
But no, obviously I love this outfit.
Yeah, it's great.
I love the red cuffs. I feel like more jackets should do that because it adds a little bit of like zhuzh to like a fairly plain gray blazer.
Yeah.
I would honestly wear this entire outfit. I think it's great.
Yeah, I like it too. Next up, we have Mr. Matthews, and this is his apology tour outfit. So he's wearing this like blue shirt that is like rolled up. Underneath, he has a white long sleeve shirt, some very light wash, like grayish jeans, and his Converse. Big pocket. You could fit tons of things in there.
Yeah, wrench. Things to clean out the gutter, maybe some gloves. Yes. I like this outfit. I really am partial to Alan when he wears Converse. Something about it is very Zaddy-ish to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Zaddy outfit on the Apology Tour, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He only gets one pair of this black and white Converse. He deserves another pair.
Well, Converse isn't a sponsor yet, so he can't get one pair yet.
Yeah. Next up, we have Gloria. And Gloria is wearing a spiked and studded leather jacket. The back had like a rose detailing underneath a white shirt. Underneath, I think that this is a black short.
It's tough to tell.
I'm leaning towards short more so than skirt. And then underneath that, some white leggings, then some high ankle black socks, and then some black boots, Doc Martin like. What do you think? And her hair is like kind of flouncy. It's like like extreme side parted, and like it was definitely in rollers. So
yeah, very voluminous.
What do you think?
I like it. It's almost like the girl version of like a Harley outfit, honestly.
Yeah, that's like probably what they're aiming for.
Greaser-esque. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I think like it's a little safe to have the white leggings as opposed to like full-on bare legs.
It's not happening. It's not happening in this era.
But you know, I appreciate a combat boot. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I guess we're Christmassy, so you really would want to cover your legs up so you wouldn't be cold.
Well, this one was episode 13.
Right. So you're in the winter there. So it's a good outfit. I think that like when I'm looking at a 90s outfit though, like Topanga's screams 90s to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Gloria's outfit, and it's sad because it's like I don't think I'll have another opportunity to give her a point, but I can't choose it over the Topanga outfit because I love the Topanga outfit so much. And it's not just that I love it so much, there's so many like aspects to it that scream 90s to me, so I have to give the point to Topanga here.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Point for Topanga. Next up, the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. My first nominee is Miss Ingrid after her makeover. So she is wearing her hair side parted. She has like this beautiful colored red hair. It's so pretty.
I'm so jealous of it.
She is wearing like a evergreen, like tight to the body dress that is long sleeved but has like a good amount of thigh showing. She is wearing some tights, white tights, so that's a knock against her, but she has some like sassy heels. What do you think of Ingrid's makeover?
I don't mind the white tights as much because they're not as opaque.
So these are like tights, and the Gloria's are leggings.
And I always like, anytime, first of all, this is around Christmas, so I feel like it's like it, the color makes sense.
Oh yeah, this is a Christmas dance. Essentially.
And I think that obviously green and red look beautiful together. Anybody who has red hair, when they're wearing green, they look beautiful, and I love this outfit on her. And I think you totally could wear this entire outfit, and no one would know. Like, no one would be like, "Oh my god, you look so outdated."
Yeah,
so
no, this is like a prime like work Christmas party outfit.
100%.
Yeah. Next up, we have Frankie in episode 13, where he gathers Corey and Sean, brings them into the cafeteria, and gives them a offer they can't refuse. So he is wearing a black shirt underneath a gray like utility button down shirt with like the two pockets. Very nice. Like, I can totally see somebody wearing that these days, and some darker wash jeans. He did get his new hair dye, which was like a little alarming. It's a little black. Like, it's
very dark.
So like, this is the type of thing where like when you initially dye your hair and you're like, ooh, this is kind of scary, but then you have to like wash it a few times and it fades and like it looks good. But I like this outfit from Frankie. I think that he Looks good and comfortable, and I like this color gray on him. So
yeah, what do you think? It's nice. I think for me, the whole outfit works for me. It's mostly the hair that I'm like, it's a bit too Harley-esque for me. Like, he dyed it specifically to have the same color as Harley or something.
Yeah, maybe, and like, to attract Gloria. Yeah.
I think it's just a bit too much for me, but I agree. I think that the shirt, especially the jeans, it's like we never see a dark wash jean. And yeah. I appreciated this dark wash jean from Frankie.
Me too. Next up, it is Feeny. Gone are the days of the gardening smock. Now we have a full gardening pruning ensemble. Mr. Feeny is wearing a hat, it's like, it's kind of like a monotone look, kind of. So it's like a light taupey hat. He's wearing a light taupey jacket. Underneath, he's wearing the same type of taupey pants, khakis. But then we have this like nice plaid button-down shirt that's belted and this like really nice like cashmere-looking green plaid scarf. I love this look. He's looking grandpa chic.
He's a vision in beige.
I love this outfit from Feeny. I think he's looking stylish.
He's very dapper. You have to give it to him.
Yeah.
You're right. This is very old man chic. Like, he has the hat that matches. Like, he's not wearing his gardening smock, interestingly enough.
I haven't seen the gardening smock all week.
Even though he's pruning with his gardening gloves. Maybe it's because this is his winter gardening outfit.
That's what it is. At least this season, they're more weather appropriate. Last season, it was like the dead of winter and they're like wearing like t-shirts.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Now we're more weather appropriate. We have a scarf. We have a hat. Doesn't cover the ears, but that's okay. I love this outfit from Feeny. I think he looks great. However, unfortunately for him, he was up against Ingrid here. And Ingrid looks bomb AF. Like,
no.
Yes.
Justice for Feeny.
No, this outfit from Ingrid is killer. And I think she looks fantastic. And it's way, I mean, Feeny looks great. Ingrid, like, anybody could rock that outfit nowadays. And you wouldn't bat an eyelash at it. You bat an eyelash because she looks so great. So that's what, she's getting my point.
That is an upset.
Well, this is what you get for letting me choose.
Well, congratulations to Topanga. Congratulations to Ingrid. Fabulous outfits. Yes. Love them both. Jessica, any other thoughts on the turnaround and Cyrano?
I love those episodes. I think they were good. I think that, like, the good part about these episodes, I feel like they sparked a lot of conversation and a lot of, like, back and forth on them, right? Because they have like two kind of strong philosophies or morals or whatever you want to say. I liked them. I thought they were good episodes. They were decent. We're now like mid-season two, and I'm liking it so far. Do you have any last thoughts on the episodes we watched?
Next week we are covering episode 14 and 15, which is I Am Not a Crook, and Breaking Up is Really, Really Hard to Do. We do have a special guest coming on, the king of Shit 90s Fun Facts, Mr. Cody L. Patterson. We're very excited to have him on to chat Boy Meets World. Besides that, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit 90s Pod. You can send in feedback there, or you can send in feedback at shit90spod@gmail.com. Aside from that, you can follow me on the Club Hizzy at Sarah Ferguson. One of these days, the clubhouse is going to die.
I mean, it's probably going to have to if they don't expand out to Android users. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can find me also on Community Building, on post-show recaps, covering the show Community on a rewatch with Josh Wiggler. Having a lot of fun over there. Go give that a listen. I know Passover is over, but you could still listen to that podcast that we have with Sasha Joseph. That was honestly one of my favorites that we've done. I think it was just so, I don't know. I had so much fun. So go give that one a listen.
Oh yeah. And actually we have another, we'll be dropping a, feedback thread for our next, special podcast, Jess.
Yes, that is coming up. I'm really excited for this one. I feel like we kind of, you know, talk about this particular topic a lot. It kind of just comes up naturally whenever we're on a podcast. We are going to be talking all about zodiacs, horoscopes, what have you, you know, astrology in general. But the way we're going to do it is through the lens of Boy Meets World. And we can't do this alone. Because we know too much about astrology. So we decided that we needed two special guests to come on. And we could think of nobody that knows Boy Meets World better than Chance and Cameron. We went on their podcast. I don't know if you guys listened. We went on Boy Meets World Fever to talk all about My Date with the President's Daughter. So now they're coming on our podcast to talk about astrology through the lens of Boy Meets World. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun.
So definitely give that a listen when it drops. We're obviously going to post a question thread for it. Any questions you have about astrology in general. Maybe if you guys have predictions on what signs. And obviously, like, we know the characters have birthdays and everything. But mm-hmm. we don't need to talk about that. We're going to talk about what these characters act like. What signs do they act like? So right. Send in your predictions. Send in your thoughts. Send in your questions at Shit90sPod. It's going to be a ton of fun. Cameron and Chance know nothing about astrology, so we're going to debrief them on all of that. And then they're going to help us sort, if you will, place, I guess, these characters into their respective signs. Really fun. We talk about astrology a lot on this podcast. It's not for everybody, but it is for us. So give it a listen when it comes out.
Absolutely.
That'll be coming out, 2 weeks?
Yeah, probably roughly. The Saturday the 24th.
Yes, Saturday the 24th. That sounds perfect. Yes. So give that a listen when it comes out. Beyond that, I think that's everything we have for you guys this week. Obviously, Dawson's Creek as well. Give that a listen. We're starting season 2. Loving it already. A lot of fun. We talked a lot about the hair last episode. So give that a listen. It's interesting. But yeah, I think that's all we have. So we will talk to you guys next week. Have a good one. Bye.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
Welcome to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I heard the news. Sorry to say. Sorry about your Monday. I don't know.
Oh, the news. I thought we were going, I was wondering if we were either going with the, like, I'm not popular because we're going with, like, an Ingrid thing.
No, we were. I was going with Sean saying, I heard about blank. You know what I mean? Where Sean would come up and be like, I heard about blank.
Which episode the hell did he say that?
Oh, no,
this is
no,
what happens
no.
when we watch two episodes. Now I'm confused at which one you're talking
that
about.
That was the turnaround.
Oh.
What a fail. Restart.
Nope.
No, I can think of something else. That doesn't work. Rewinding. No rewind sound. No.
Is it worth it? Let me work it.
Oh my god.
Don't flip it in first.
Can you just start over?
It's worth going yet?
No. Oh my god. I don't have the mental capacity for this.
Well, let's see. You know what we should have done? What we should have done. We should have had you do the intro because it's the turnaround dance. It's like we're turning it around, and now your intro. Do you get it? Uh-huh. I don't think people would get it, but especially if you didn't explain it. Ah, well, moment is passed.
What's the opener? do you not want to wait? Neither do
that
me.
That is for Dawson's
Creek. Welcome back to Shit Any Shows Taught Me. I'm Sarah Ferguson.
Yes, is that such great energy coming from you. Yes, it is. Welcome to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Do you say I'm Jess Sterling? Do you say that every time?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Of course I say my own name.
Okay.
Why would I say just your name? Why would I say welcome to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me? Here's my co-host.
Okay. I mean, if this is what we're going with.
I'm going to leave all of this in.
No, don't leave it in.